Welcome to the Infill's Right podcast. Adam Stone is on the road heading to Atlanta for the return of MLP. So in his place, we have Mr. Abraham Deegan. We have Mr. Eric Roddy, the man, the myth, the legend. We are going to go into kind of Thursday's first MLP matchups, which there are some bangers in there. And then what else are we going to do?
We're gonna keep working through there. Talk about some newcomers on the scene for Major League. A lot of first time players. We'll break down those matchups, like you said, Rob, a little deeper. And then we're gonna have a special guest coming at the end to go through our tip of the day. So this is gonna be an action packed episode. You're not gonna want to miss this.
Don't miss it, especially the end.
Keep it here
because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Before we get into the episode, we have to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. Get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and much, much more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily? From gripping PPA tournament matches and live coverage of grandstand court to insightful player interviews, Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. If you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to get it. Abraham Deegan in the house. What up, Roddy?
We're back.
I was so jealous. We were talking, you and I both talking to Bernstein in Athens for the SEC Championships, women's tennis. I know you said, hey, you should come up for it. There's nothing better to me than Athens in the spring. Well, Athens in the fall is pretty great, but Athens in the spring when you have Dan McGill Tennis Center, Tennis Complex, just packed that is the epitome of college tennis, and I wish I could have gone.
Yeah, nothing like it. It was a big weekend. Jeff Wallace, who was the head coach when I was there, he retired after almost 40 years of coaching, so got to go to his retirement party at the Georgia Theater, which is a blast. And then Georgia comes through and ends up beating A&M, who I think was probably the favorite after adding kind of a girl who was on the WTA tour for a while. But they steamrolled them. I mean, they played unbelievable. Just won their first two rounds of the NCAA tournament again in Athens, and they're going to host Cal this Friday in the Sweet 16 in Athens. So lots going on there, but it was a blast. Yeah, definitely need you to make it down there next time. It's a good time.
Athens is a tough place to beat the dogs. That's a big advantage.
Extremely. Yeah, home court advantage huge there. So we got one more before having to go to.
I don't know where they host like the men's and women's every year. Is it still at random colleges? Or cuz I know they did like the USDA, I think they did it in Orlando some.
Yeah. So they're still doing, I think it's I don't know if it's a bidding process or whatever it is, but they're kind of moving it around a little bit more. It's in Stillwater, I think Oklahoma State this year. So I think we're starting to see it kind of bounce around a little bit more. It used to just be Orlando, Athens.
It should never be anywhere other than Athens is my strong opinion.
Only, I think one school complained. I think everybody else was down to keep it there because they love the venue and they love the fans. So
yeah, do that. Who complained? Yeah.
I want to say it was either Stanford, UCLA, one of those schools out there. So.
Yeah, sounds about right. Sounds about right. They're soft. They're soft. Yeah, anyways, soft. Enough tennis. Picky time. We got a lot going on. We have MLP, the long-awaited arrival of MLP. We're back.
We are back.
And I was just looking at the schedule over the next few days down in Atlanta, and starting Thursday, there's a lot of pickle happening, which I've always said this. If like MLP is the one format and the one event where I could literally just like, if I was just a fan or even like if just me, I could go down, sit in the bleachers on call it grandstand court and sit there from 8 a.m. for the first match through 8 p.m. at the end of the day and like truly be entertained all day, which I can't say that for any other event.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the especially if you get into a dream breaker, the atmosphere is really good. And I think it keeps you on your toes, right? You have to kind of watch every point since every point counts now. And then you have that team atmosphere, you got the chirping. It does feel more like a tennis college duel match, which is exciting. I think it brings out the best of the sport. So yeah, right there with
you. And I think, you know, there's always like these complaints about, you know, points are boring, points take too long. But with that format, like, you know, where every point's showing up on the scoreboard, if it it feels like it moves quicker. You don't have a 30 ball dink rally and then nobody gets a point, right? So it's
right.
I think it has the cadence and the pace that like keeps you entertained the entire time, because you know after every single point you're getting closer to that 21 mark where the game's going to end. So I think as a viewer, I like rally better, but as a player, it's still not I don't love it, but I love it as I love it as a viewer.
Interesting too, because this will be the first time, Rob, they're playing games to 25 and there's no freeze.
Yep.
So they're getting rid of that freeze. So no more kind of like, you know, those couple meaningless points where it's like, hey, we've got a 7-point lead and we're about to get frozen. So you don't have that weird dynamic. Every point is truly going to count and you can lose on your serve, which is crazy. You could be down 23-24 and when that team returns and wins the point, it's over. So
you don't have to win on your serve anymore.
I don't think so. At least that's not how we've been playing rec games here the last couple of days. So, the hustle. Yeah.
Got it. Well, that's super interesting because, I mean, having to win on your serve is in a sense kind of a freeze, because it's obviously much harder to earn a point on your serve than it is as the returner. Mm-hmm. So That'll be a fun format. It'll go much quicker if you don't have to win on your serve. That's for sure.
100%. So, yeah.
Fun stuff. So let's go through some of the matchups. We're going to stick around. We're going to do a tip towards the end. We might have a special guest that joins us and helps us with the tip of the day. They're a pickleball savant. They, you know, if you think you've heard it all, you have not heard it all when it comes to this person. So just hang tight. Stick with us. You'll see them soon. But MLP, we are opening up on Thursday. Very first match is the Florida Smash versus the Bay Area Breakers. What do we have there?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting one. You got some not so new faces coming, but then also some new faces. Breakers obviously got my boy Schick on there. Again, I think he's a top 10 Knicks player. He's unbelievable. My guess is
that's a very bold statement, Mr. Dinkin.
It is super bold. But the guy, when he blows up a woman and gets on a roll, it's unbelievable. He's like a freight train, and he can literally wreck a match. I don't care who's playing across from him. The guy can literally take over a match. I think he's just trying to work on keeping that level consistent the whole time. I think it's the hard part, but he's a very good mix.
But do you think on that bold statement, I got a question, because I'm just actually curious. Obviously, when you have like these excellent movers, great drives, but not just great drives, but are able to like close quickly on that second ball, which is what Schick's really good at. Do you feel like that is the ultimate strategy for mixed, or do you feel like, because you're going to win, you're going to go on a roll, you're going to, you know, like you said, you can really attack the woman and roll off some points, but as you mentioned, the consistency is the issue. Can you be consistent playing like that? Because in mixed you have Ignatowicz, who plays pretty similar to that, but I would say less so. He drops a bit more, but he still tries to really take over. Do you feel like that's the optimized strategy for mixed at this time in pickleball is what Schick's doing, or like a Daescu who's going to mostly drop, grind, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. I think, first of all, I think MLP is way different than regular traditional sport, yeah. Right? So I think that's the other thing that I'm kind of factoring in. But you're right. You have to have both, right? Because I think you got to know, and you have to recognize, you have to self-recognize when the freight train's stopping, and you know maybe what you're doing, your level's dropping, because nobody can hit a perfect drive and then hit the first volley as hard as they can every time.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. But I like the more aggressive style, especially to start a match, or maybe if you're in a rut, because you can just rattle off quick points like that. But you're exactly right. And I think this is, you know, one thing Schick's been working on and doing well with is kind of IDing when that level is dropping a little bit, and then mixing yeah. in the drop and getting to the kitchen and kind of making your offense up there instead of going back. So you're right. But yeah. I just favor the, especially in mixed, I favor kind of the more freight train style to start.
You could put a lot of, you put so much pressure on the other team. Okay, cool. Just was curious your take on that. But yeah, continue on. So you have Schick. Who else we have here?
The Breakers have Schick and Kaka, who's new, I think, to MLP.
Yep.
Has had an incredible start to the year. Some APP titles and some good runs with Rafa Hewitt and men's dubs and PDA. So they're the men's doubles team, and you talk about a firepower team. It's those two. I see some dinking, but not a ton. I think they're going to rely on their hand speed and their drive and their crashing. And then Schick's yep. going to play with Rector. To the best of my knowledge. And then I think we see yep. Kalka with Glossman. So two really good mixed teams. And then the Smash, maybe one of the most well-rounded teams overall. You got Frantova playing with Emmerich. So that's a really good women's team. And then Frantova's yep. been playing great mixed doubles. She paired up with Andre in the last tournament. They made a good run. So her playing with Pat Smith, and then Rettmeyer and Emmerich, or however they're mixing and matching, but a really well-rounded team. So that's going to be an interesting matchup.
And I think that's a really, really tough men's team with a lot of experience, Rettmeyer and Pat Smith. I think, if we're talking men's doubles only,
yeah,
could be, I mean, both kind of, in my opinion, on the men's side, at least, that borderline premier on that borderline premier line for men's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you too, Rob, this is where the 25 comes into play versus the 21 and the freeze. Like,
yeah,
this is where you're going to have a team, Schick and Kalka, not playing more traditional pickleball, at least on paper, we don't think so, versus one of the most traditional teams with Rettmeyer and Smith, and they're going to hit a lot of drops yep. and they're going to dink to death. So with this game to 25, if Schick and Kalka get on a run, it's not so quick to 21, right? You can't just kind of sprint your way to 21. Interested to see yep. how this matchup style differs along the course of a longer game. So I think it's going to be good.
And then we have the Breakers again playing following that matchup against the Frisco Pandas, who have, looks like, Sincola, Stefano Vern, who we haven't seen a ton of this year. I don't know what's he's slowed down a little bit in terms of the tournaments. I haven't seen him a lot. And then we have Eva Radzikowska, who is, and honestly, she might be like a MVP, like challenger MVP on the female side. She's always in the mix in terms of her team's doing well. And then I believe Allie Phillips rounds out that team.
Yeah, it's hilarious. They might as well be called the Frisco Fives, because I think this team three-fourths of the New Jersey Fives, and then Radzikowska, so who arguably could have been, you know, could have made a case for premier as a woman.
100%.
I think this team's interesting because they kept that kind of core fives roster together. Alvern and Sincola might be the most standard couple in MLP so far across the last couple years. So, yeah, like you said, haven't seen a lot of Stefan. John's been playing a ton and been playing well, is with that Austin crew. So he's getting some good play every day. Allie Phillips is kind of the ringer for me there. Super athletic. I think she's really, really talented and really good. Just interested to see how she pairs up with the Radzikowska. So, I think this team's dangerous, especially if they all play good at the same time.
Just super interesting. They opted to go with, yeah, like you said, three out of four of the exact same team from the fives that didn't necessarily do great. But look, Stefan and John play a lot together, both based in Austin, practice a lot together. They're both obviously very familiar with Ali. So, and Ava's very good. So going to be a tough team. And they are actually going to play the SoCal Heart Eights in their second match, which we have Mr. Eric Lang, who, you know, last season was premier. We've got, I believe it's Christine Maddox. Mm-hmm. We have Irina Tereshchenko, who's, you know, on my team at the very first, off the radar a little bit, playing a little less, but was, you know, been in pretty much every MLP at the highest level, was my teammate at the very first one. And then we have another ringer who Eric Lang campaigned hard for and it worked. And we have Purple Jesus.
Yeah.
Max Manthau.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, this is going to be interesting because, again, it's a new face to MLP, new face to pickleball for a lot of people. Plays with Lang, Pacific Northwest, had one unreal tournament this year, and then again, just disappeared off the face of the earth. Haven't really seen him otherwise. Again, I think this format, he's going to thrive. He was a high-level tennis player at University of Washington. This kind of dual match kind of format, is, I think, is going to bring out the best in him. He's obviously a kind of a momentum player. When he gets hot, he rolls. So I'm really interested to hear this. And I think he's going to play the left with Lang. That's what they did in Miami.
Yeah.
Crazy to think of a 6'5 guy playing the right, but that's how good Purple Jesus is over there on the left. So we're going to see a full baptism with Purple Jesus making a debut here. So,
yeah. And I think Eric's super comfortable on the right. He's played a ton of right side. I think he's on the right side. And yeah, Purple Jesus is he's not the biggest guy, but he's fast. He's got good hands, and he can pretty much go head to head with anybody that's in front of him. So yeah, the experience and the practice together is going to probably pay off. I mean, the Heart Eights always do a good job. We got Adam Stone out today, obviously, but he's heading to Atlanta, which is why he can't make it to be with the Heart Eights, get them ready, and see if they can bring home another ship.
Yeah, no. Always, I always put my faith in Stone. He knows these players and he knows what he's doing. So excited to see this team in action.
Yep. Popping over to Premier, we've got the New York Hustlers on Thursday, May 9th, playing the Columbus Sliders.
Yeah, this is a big one for Team Charlotte here. Obviously, we got Brooke and Jack squaring off for the first time in MLP. Jack's making his debut. I know everybody's excited about that. The Hustlers are here, Rob, actually, right now in Charlotte. Going to play with them later on today.
Let's go.
So, again, I think the key here is CJ Klinger making the jump up to Premier. He's been a force. He's been a two-time MVP, I think it is, winning with and Challenger. So the kid's absolutely ready to play. He's playing good. Played with him yesterday. And he and Jack are going to be an awesome duo because I think of how solid and consistent CJ is. And then obviously you've got the chaos from Jack. So interested to hear your thoughts on that matchup, especially on the other side.
Yeah, on that, just with the CJ Jack partnership, and you've probably seen it in action. CJ likes to make a lot of balls, but he's also, I mean, he's got a great drive. He hits a pretty big serve and he's pretty good at drive crash. So I'll be curious to see how they play if MLP is different format than traditional scoring. Drive crash, you can roll off some quick points on your serve, which is a big deal. So I like it. I will be curious to see how fast they play versus how controlled, which is what CJ typically likes to play, is a bit more controlled. And on the other side of that, other side of the net, though, they've got the Columbus Sliders. Which we've got Brooke, we've got Dazan, we've got Connor Garnett, and Riley Newman. So we got a Newman sock matchup first match.
I know. First, they did play in the mixed final of North Carolina last year. Newman was with Elise Jones, and sock obviously played with Waters. So they played before on a competitive scale, but obviously it's been over a year. I'm fired up, and then they obviously played a couple men's matches. But I'm fired up to see to see that. I think it's going to be, this is the MLP is much more chirp friendly. I feel like, not that the normal tournaments aren't, but I think we're gonna hear a lot of good smack talk. And then I'm interested to a little inside scoop here. Dazon's been under the weather the last couple weeks. There was talks of maybe seeing it to try to find a replacement if she couldn't give it a go. I last I heard, she's going to give it a go. So hopefully she's 100% and she's feeling good, because she and Brooke are going to be a force. Brooke obviously super solid on the right, doesn't really make mistakes and is working on offense. So
yeah.
I think this is one of the best matchups of the weekend, and it's Thursday.
Agreed. Circling this one on the calendar for sure. Going to be interesting. Like, we haven't seen a lot of Riley Newman this year. He's been taking some time off, taking some vacay, went down to South America, it seemed like. Curious how much pickle he's been playing and if there's any kind of rust that needs to get knocked off, because you don't have a lot of time to knock off rust in MLP format, right? Like, you can't ease through your first couple rounds like you would in call it a tournament where you're a high seed and you've got some low seeds to kind of manage. You're jumping right in the fire, and I'll be really curious to see, you know, how sharp he is right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I think, again, that momentum and the key is how every single point counts too. And just real quick back to CJ and Sock, you talk about the longest team. That might be the longest team in the entire sport. Their wingspans are insane. CJ's still growing. It's unbelievable. So keep that one in mind. Yeah.
Yes, he is. And so the Sliders go into their next match against the Texas Ranchers. So in that, we have Etta Wright, we've got Pablo Tejas, we've got Tina Pisnik, and Christian Alshon. Also, very fun matchup. It'll be cool to see Pablo play with Christian. Tina's obviously been having phenomenal results. I think her and Etta are a ridiculous team. They're going to be really tough to beat. So I would favor probably Etta and Tina over Brooke and Dazon. In terms of Pablo and Christian versus Connor and Riley,
Probably got to favor
Connor and Riley on that one.
Yeah. Again, just like depending. You said, I think it's going to come down to, it's going to come down to mixed. I think you're, but that's the thing with MLP. You can do matchups and all this, but then once you're there, it's so nerve wracking. It's just who gets a better start and who kind of holds on. So, interesting. The Ranchers are the third highest team in total duper. Only the Squeeze and the Pioneers are higher. So, I mean, you talk about well-rounded. This team's as good as it gets, and I like Alshon and Pablo together. I think that's a really good team.
You know, and I think it's
in the middle, and
it's a big deal also having Lefty with Pablo on that team, because that means Tina can play the left, which is her bread and butter. With Christian and Etta, Etta's been playing some with Ben. Christian is, I would put Christian top five mixed player on the men's side. I think he's incredibly athletic, developed a lot more weapons off the bounce. They're going to be dangerous in mixed as well. I think, like you said, just a very well-rounded team. A little probably heavy, top heavy on the women's side. But, you know, I don't want to say like question mark or anything like that, but I think it's how well does Pablo play in men's and mixed is that's the question mark. But I think he's surrounded by great players, and I think we'll be able to see his talent step up. So
little pushback too on the Ranchers taking Alshon so high. I think people, but I mean, exactly what you said. He's athletic and he can play. So we'll see what happens there.
There's pushback on him going, Premier last go round, and he played great, and he's obviously incredibly dedicated and working hard, and he's still getting better. So, I think there's going to be a lot of fun matches. So that rounds out Thursday. We don't have the time to go through every single one of these matches, but does anything else stand out to you in terms of what you're excited to see?
I think I want to point out two newcomers too. I think it's that's kind of one of the storylines, is we have so many new faces and so many changes. Two extremely high level D1 girls. One I got to coach against, and then one I missed, but have heard from Drake a ton of stuff. So, and the premier side, it's Kate Fahey. Anna Bright kind of handpicked her, as she's done in the past. You saw her do it with Roerbacher last year. I know Kate pretty well. We've gotten to be pretty good friends and kept in touch over the last couple months, especially. I'm going to go ahead and be bold and say, not only is she going to hold her own, I think she's going to be in the talks for kind of newcomer of the year on the premier side. She's the most competitive person I think I've ever met in my life. There's a quick story of her at Michigan. She was playing a dual match. The girl she was playing hooked her, or at least she felt that she hooked her. And when they were changing sides, Kate shoulder checked her, just to kind of give her a wake up call and say, "Hey, stop hooking me." So she was extremely decorated at Michigan, played high level singles. Anna Bright probably knew her from that and knew some of those stories, and is obviously putting some stock in her. And I think, she'll get the chance to kind of prove that she belongs, and I think she will. And then on the challenger side, way newer to pickleball, is only on like, I think month three or four of playing, but her name's Laney Sleeth. Forgive me there if I botched the first name, but she played at Florida, actually coached against her when I was at Georgia for a dual match, and then she transferred to Oklahoma and ended up being ranked number one in the country at some point. So all the skills, physically gifted, total beast. And Jim Dobrin and Gartman and Samin for the Brooklyn Aces took a chance on her, and I think again, I think it's going to pay off. It might be a little bit later down the road, just because she's still kind of getting used to decision making and kind of the tact that comes with pickleball and doubles. But her getting to play the right and her getting to play with some good guys and Martin Emmerich and De La Rosa is huge. So excited to see her take the court. She's got Lena as a great mentor.
Yeah,
those are my two shout outs.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one, and then I was like, well, I don't know that name. But again, Samin, you know, when I was on the Aces, I remember we were going out. It was myself, Corinne Carr, Adam Stone. Corinne was a teammate at the time on the Aces. We went out to Park City for an event with Samin, and we were looking at, you know, obviously Corinne was pregnant at the time. We had Sierra Gayton Leach, who was also had been pregnant. So we were like, okay, well, we have to pick up a female. Who could we pick up? And that's when Samin, you know, we discussed it, took a chance on Tyra, and you know, obviously she's gone on to do great things. So taking a chance on some up and comers isn't something Samin's shy of. So I think that's what he's doing here. And again, we're talking about, we don't have a redraft, you know, in a few months, right? So this is like, he's banking on Lane really being committed and dialing it in and focused and seeing this, like you said, seeing this payoff down the road, not necessarily in these first few matches, because I've looked at some of the results recently and yeah, they're not there yet, but it's, you know, things change when you have better partners and you feel more confident and they can kind of guide you and help you. So that'll be definitely one to keep an eye on. I think that'll be fun to watch and just another fun storyline to just see how things develop. And I love the fact that teams are staying together and there's not another draft to my knowledge, because that's what you can look at now. You can look at early stage players, seeing how they develop throughout the year. And that's super fun to keep an eye on.
Right. And it diminishes that whole team aspect too. If your team has new players every 3 months, I couldn't stand trying to keep up with who was on whose team. It ends up, you just don't really care anymore. So I like that.
And it's already a little tough, right? With 24 teams, 12 in Premier, 12 in Challenger. There's just so many teams, where it's difficult, but it's way more difficult when they're constantly shuffling teams. So the fact that we have set teams, people are going to be able to, like, it's going to be like any league, right? Any pro league, where you have the teams you follow, the players that you like, the players you want to see develop. I've always loved MLP. I love that they're going to like more of a continuity model where you'll have the same people to follow. I think, I've always said it. I think team-based pickleball is what pickleball should be, pro pickleball anyways. And even if it's not what we have full time, we at least have, Thursday through whatever it is, Sunday. Yeah, Thursday through Sunday. We have a lot of, there's a lot of Picky to watch, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. If pickleball enthusiasts out there, there is no shortage of pickleball, and we're definitely working in the right direction. So.
Abraham, tell me a story while we wait on Greg, because you never know where he is.
No, I know. Let's try to think of what I got here. Just give you my next couple. We're hitting the road again, Rob, which is exciting. So I'll go down to Atlanta this weekend, try to catch some MLP, and maybe get some training in. Deacon and I are going to take on the PBA Atlanta together. And then I'm playing mixed with Rachel Summers, which I'm fired up about.
Rachel's good.
Let's go. So two great partners.
Yeah.
And then heading out to Dallas. I'm going to play some dubs with Anik Lohani.
Yeah.
And then the California tour starts, going to Sacramento and San Clemente. So
love it.
Fired up for that. I'm really, really looking forward to getting to Atlanta, where they've got some of the best Asian food in the Southeast. So gonna do some eating as well. But
love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you? I don't even know this. So are you all PPA MLP? Like that's? Are you? Did all, you sign something?
Yeah. Signed.
Attaboy.
3 years. So all PPA MLP.
Congrats, yeah. Homie. That's great.
Thank you.
What's the situation? Are you doing, like, are the camps happening, like the MLP PPA camps? Like, are you teaching some, or what's it look like?
They are, yeah. So Johnny Pickleball is leading those up for the PPA.
Yep.
And those, his specific version are the, you know, you're more 3 hours for 2 days, and you'll get amateurs from all levels coming in. So I did one of those in Cary, North Carolina. Great group. Johnny crushing that. He's the perfect guy to lead those. And then the PPA will also have some sponsored events throughout the week.
Yep.
So I'm doing one with the Special Olympics in Atlanta, a 2-hour clinic, kind of working with
very cool
with kids with the Special Olympics. Yeah. So fired up about that. So just kind of different ones like that. And then you'll do a corporate one with some of their sponsors, like Busy or Deep Eddie Vodka. So yeah,
nice.
Just a range. Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Good.
I haven't taught a ton, but I'm here in Bristol at the Bristol Sportsplex, where there's a PPA coming here in August. So hopefully you can come to that. It's gonna be. I'm creating kind of like the pro player experience, because we want to make it kind of the best stop on the PPA tour. So, as you probably know, NASCAR is relatively big here. There's Bristol Motor Speedway, which is, I think it's known as being like the fastest short track in NASCAR. But I was talking to the CEO of Bristol Motor Speedway, and it sounds like we'll be able to do some fun stuff over there for the pros. Maybe even get in cars and do some laps.
Wow.
Which
would be
awesome. Which would be absolutely insane. But
if there's a sign up for that, I'm all in.
I mean, this is just a cool area. It's going to be like, for the PPA, we're going to have like live music going nonstop. It's known as the birthplace of country music. It's some of the earliest country music recordings were done here. It's a beautiful kind of a setting in the mountains. Brand new outdoor facility being built right now. It's going to be 13 courts and a nice stadium court, which is going to be really cool.
Sweet.
6 indoor picky courts. Got like a sauna room. We've got a beautiful gym. There's going to be a great pro player area. It's going to be sick. And the whole city's committed. It's like, they've got like welcome signs at the airport going up. It's like, for Bristol, it's a gigantic deal. It's going
to
be sick.
Hey, you're talking to a Tennessee guy, born and raised. So Chattanooga, Tennessee is not far from me. That's going to be my home. It's going to be my home tournament. I think my parents are going to try to make the trek up, so it's only a couple hours.
Epic.
I'm fired up. First big tournament in Tennessee. It's going to be sweet. I know who that is. What's going on?
Okay, can you still hear us? Or can we hear you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Test. What's up? How we doing?
All right, we got Gregory down here in Bristol, Tennessee. He's gonna pop in the tip of the day, but Greg, just give us a little monologue about how your past few days have been. I was just saying, we're gonna do the pro player experience for the PPA in Bristol.
Yeah,
maybe get some laps on the track. Talk about
Just talk about Bristol. We're gonna have live music going.
You know what? Bristol is a cute little town, man. That's what how I would describe Bristol. It's got cute little coffee shops. It's got cute little bars, cute little people. Everyone's nice. This is America. Okay. This is not San Clemente, California. This is not, you know, Seattle, Washington. Thank God. Right. This is America. Okay. This is the red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes. This is what it's all about in Bristol, Tennessee. You know, beautiful mountains, beautiful people. There is some nice spots, and there really is. Listen, Bristol Motor Speedway, people know a lot about, you know, I'm not a NASCAR guy, but I know what Bristol Motor Speedway is. So potentially, I guess Rob's saying we can maybe take a couple laps on the track. Some of the, I don't know if Dinkin and Dow are on that list, but I mean, potentially, that would be amazing. So Bristol's a great spot, man. I think the PPA is going to, the players are going to love it. The fans are going to love it. And the amateur players who come and visit for the tournament will love it too. So very exciting stuff to have PPA in Bristol, Tennessee.
Greg, you're from North Carolina. I'm from Chattanooga. This is basically a home tournament for us.
We're super close. I forgot you're from Tennessee. I forgot about that.
Everything you just described, small town USA, baby. That's why Tennessee is one of the greatest states in the 50. So
I've always liked Tennessee. I went to
school at UNC Asheville, just down the road from here.
You know,
family from just south of here, Eastern Tennessee, and Sevierville, Cosby, close to Dollywood. Let's go Dolly Parton.
Oh my gosh!
But we are gonna. So we got Pigeon 5 minutes Forge. Here. We're gonna wrap this within 5 minutes. But the only way we're gonna do that is with Greg at the Dow imparting his ultimate knowledge of this little game we call pickleball, and here it goes.
Give it to me, Greg.
I'm trying to think right now. I've got a lot of tips. I have a lot of tips. Big tipper. I'm always a big tipper. I would say something that I've been thinking about and focusing on recently, and this applies to all levels, is we don't talk about the fourths and sixths enough, I don't think, in pickleball. It's always, what do you do with the third? You got to hit a drop or hit a drive and then get to the kitchen and or blah, blah, blah. Nobody talks about the fours and six because I guess it's pretty obvious, right? It's you know, if someone hits a high third shot, then you smack it and you try and keep them back. And it's pretty self-explanatory, I thought. But now I'm watching matches. And I'm looking at the best teams, what they're doing, and they are aggressive on fourths for sure when they're given a ball to be aggressive on. But when they're not overly aggressive and they're really making other teams win 11 points in a game, to hit a good third, get to the kitchen, and then hit 37 dinks and to win 1 point versus other teams, including myself, even these are high-level teams. Like, there's a lot of points where I'll be playing someone and someone will hit a pretty good third shot drop and I'll be too aggressive on the fourth and they'll come in on their fifth shot and slam. Just giving away points like that. And then, of course, third shot drive, fifth shot crashes are a factor too. But I'm watching these other teams. I'm trying to look. So the tip is be aggressive on your fours and six, but don't be overly aggressive. It's the easiest thing in the world when you're playing a match and the other team is just doing dumb stuff at the kitchen before you even have to get there. The worst match to play is a match where you have to win all 11 points of the game by hitting a third shot, then hitting a fifth, and then having hit 37 dinks and wait. Yeah, that's a nightmare. You'd rather win 6 points, 7 points. A lot of teams are doing that off of your opponent's mistake before you even get to the line. So if you are that team who is returning, who has the advantage, be smart, be intelligent at that line. Don't be overly aggressive. Make the other team play. That's my tip.
And a lot of that too, Greg, is spin, right? Because if they crush the ball to you and you try to crush it back instead of hitting it to a spot, you're in trouble there.
Yes,
so yeah, I agree fully. Another thing you're going to have to see is when people are driving and crashing, you're going to have to develop some kind of touch and drop that fourth volley in the kitchen short to where they can't drive and crash. So another shot that I think is becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah, I think
Greg Dow, he came in, dropped bars, and he left. Yeah. Sorry.
I do think a big thing on the force, especially where the game's going, and you're seeing a lot of like really big drives, nice dipping drives that are like going over, that are at your knees basically if you're at the kitchen line. But serves are bigger too, right? So it's getting increasingly difficult off a big serve, especially if you're unwinding, to actually get to the kitchen line for that first volley and be stationary when you're hitting that first volley. And you see a lot of free points off that. So it's something to really work on, is when somebody's serving big, like really moving through that return, not stopping. Like that's what I see a lot, is players on the return, especially the serve will come, they'll stop, they'll hit the return, and then they'll try to move after that. There's not enough time anymore to do that. You have to be moving through the return. And I think amateur players oftentimes, even when they think they're moving through it, they're moving forward, stopping, hitting, then going, and getting to about 4 feet behind the kitchen line and having a much more difficult fourth than they would otherwise.
100%. No, I think you're spot on. Yeah, good
done.
Tip.
Boom. It feels right. Boom. Gregory Dow, one last comment.
Thanks,
anything?
Guys. No, I just – this is a great crew here. I mean, this is just a great crew, man. I'm happy to be alive, happy to be a part of Picky.
This is America.
This is America. We love this country.
Good to see you, Greg.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you hopping on, Abraham Dinkin. See you soon.